Some wisdom is put new batteries in the microphone before you preach. Wisdom for 2016. So this is, if you have your Bibles or tablets or whatever you use, open up to the book of Proverbs. A lot of wonderful wisdom in Proverbs, of course. And today, we're going to have a lot of nuggets of wisdom for you with McWisdom for 2016. That will make sense in a couple of minutes, I promise. You can thank McDonald's for today's sermon. I have a lot to thank McDonald's for, so but we'll get to that in just one moment. You guys, if you're a Christian here today and you have trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, that means you read the Bible a lot. And if you do, I encourage you and hope that you read Proverbs a lot. I have a book of Proverbs on my desk, and we have some out there. You can take them, little books that are just Proverbs. Feel free to take those, take one with you today. And I read Proverbs a lot because I need a lot of wisdom in my life. The book of Proverbs, there are really three main areas that Proverbs covers. It covers how you handle your sexuality, how you handle and what relationships you have, and how you talk in your language. So sex, relationships, and language. Now, let me tell you, whether you're, if you're already a Christian, you know this, and or if not, I'm telling you now, but if even if you're not, you're just haven't put your faith in Jesus yet as Lord of your life, doesn't matter. How you handle your sexuality, the relationships you have, and how you talk will determine the course of your life. Those are three areas that, if handled well, are good, and if handled bad and poorly and unwisely, can wreck your life. I want you to think about, and today we're going to talk about language. We're going to talk about words. Now, words mean a lot. Can you guys tell a lot from someone just from how they talk and what they say, right? If you guys met me for the first time, I was like, what's up, yo? How would be? You guys would be like, this guy's an idiot, first of all. Or if, you know, if you meet someone from the South and they're probably, you know, they kind of, maybe we use the word redneck. I was watching a show last night where the people talked so redneck they had to subtitle English. They were speaking English. I'm not kidding you. I was watching this show. They were speaking English and they had to put the language still on the bottom of the screen because, you know, everything talked like this and you couldn't even understand them. But how someone talks, you can tell a lot, right? You really can, and our words are so important. I want you to think about, I'm married, and if you are, do your words matter? Married men, what you say something mean, you're going to be reminded about it 10 years later. And that's, it's just a reality. I encourage you, if you're married, watch your words. What you say matters so much. If I go home today and tell my wife I love her and she's beautiful and all these things, I'm going to have a good day. If I go home and start criticizing her and smarting off, I'm going to have a bad Sunday. Words matter very, very, very much. What does Proverbs 18:21 tell us? The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. A couple things there. Some translations say there's power of life and death in the tongue. How true is that? Oh my goodness. What we say, how we say it, you're talking life and death. And the Bible also says those who love to talk will reap the consequences. We can stay on that one. Meaning, and we'll get to in a moment, as Christians, most of us could stand to talk less. There's less chance to say something stupid the less that I talk. I found that out. But there's power in words. Guys, I could say something right now that was horrible, that I'd, before the end of the day, I'd be fired as your pastor. I could choose to say something just awful. I could go from here and choose to break confidence of people and start gossiping. I'd be out of here. Words matter. There is the power of life and death in what you say. You meet the wrong person, you smart off to them, you cuss at them, they might punch you, they might pull a gun out and shoot you. You don't know. There's power of life and death in the tongue. I have a lot of regrets in my life from sins and you know, especially how I used to live. But I have a lot of verbal regrets. You guys have any verbal regrets? Once you say something, you can never unsay it. Once you post something, you can unpost it, but it's been seen. Once you send that text message, it is sent forever. Watch your words. Who would you guys rather be around? A kind, optimistic person who builds up, who thinks the best, who is positive? Or would you rather be around someone who complains all the time and tells you, speaks their mind and is negative and gossips? I don't want to be around those people. And if you're one of those and you never see me, now you know why. So there it is. But 2016, we're just going to, today, I hope you take notes. I hope you're willing to write some of this down and you're willing to, and if you don't, to read Proverbs a little bit more. We're going to talk about how powerful our language is. There are 915 Proverbs, I believe, in the book of Proverbs. And again, three things: sex, relationships, and language are hit more than anything else. and the Holy Spirit has given us, these are Holy Spirit inspired, words and advice about how we live our lives. And guys, following God's word, following these Proverbs, especially in these three areas, will lead to a wonderful life, abundance and peace and joy and great things. And choosing to ignore them will lead to regret and drama and bad decisions. I'm telling you right now. And today we're going to talk about words. And let me promise you this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Uncontrolled words can wreck your life. Uncontrolled speech and words can wreck your life. James tells us in James chapter 3, he says, indeed, we all make many mistakes, but if we could control our tongues, we'd be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's full of wickedness and it can corrupt your entire body. Go back to verse 2. If we could control our tongues, we could also control ourselves in every other way. I want to make you aware of something this morning. If you can't, and you show me someone who can't control their tongue and they're always cussing and popping off and smarting off and saying things, they're not controlling other areas of their life either. It's just not happening. We can't even control what we say. We can't control what we do. Your tongue, what you say, how you say it, what you won't say, the power of life and death. Failure to control your tongue will lead to failure in all, in most or all other areas of your life. James talks about the tongue. It's like a rudder of a ship. You think of a humongous ship, and a much, much, very small rudder controls where the ship goes, just like your tongue controls your life. Whether you'll have drama, you'll have regrets, you say mean things, you can say the right things, you can speak wisdom, or you can just talk, get yourself in trouble. My mouth has gotten me in more trouble in my life than anything else. And I've done some things I regret, but it's this old smart aleck mouth that has caused me probably more grief than anything else in my life. And by the grace of God, not as much anymore. Be quiet, Carla. But you know, God's working. Wisdom is just crucial. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. And wisdom, guys, isn't just knowing what God's word says and what to do. You know, we're supposed to do or not do. Real wisdom is following and doing that. Wisdom isn't just knowing what God's word says. Real wisdom is doing it. And these are three areas: sex and relationships and language. And we just have time for the language component today, but. Why is it McWisdom, and why do we have McDonald's to thank? I was in McDonald's this week, and I saw by their drive-thru, maybe you work there or eat there a lot, and I think that some of this up probably in other workplaces or schools. You've seen the acronym THINK. If you haven't seen that, it's THINK. Is what you say truthful, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? Now, I don't know if McDonald's knows this, but that comes straight from Proverbs, straight from God's word. And as Christians, everything you say should be true, it should be helpful, it should be inspiring, it should be necessary, and it should be kind. And we're going to go over those five here today. First, as Christians, is what you say true? Now, this sounds very basic. Well, yeah, I mean, as a Christian, it's, you know, I know we shouldn't lie. Christians aren't liars. There's something you can just take to the bank. Followers of Jesus, we're not liars. What does Proverbs say about telling the truth? It says, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Next one, please. The truthful lip will be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Next one. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. An abomination. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Now, the Bible calls some other stuff abominations, and it's not good. If you love Jesus, if you're a Christian, you will not be a liar. You will tell the truth. Now, we say that's very easy because we don't tell big lies, but, you know, when it comes to speaking the truth, we are certainly not in a world that is filled with truth. We live in a world that is filled with half-truths and lies. The very purpose of this world is to take us and distract us and to keep us from the Lord. To keep us from God. Remember our Twisted series? It's just to twist things and half-truth and manipulate how we think about truth and about God and about his word and about Jesus Christ. That's what the world is here to do. But when it comes to truth and lies, the world is filled with lies and with half-truths. Jesus is the personification of truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just as our enemy, Satan, the devil, is the personification. The Bible calls him the father of all lies. All the bad stuff, everything wrong in this world is because of sin. It's because he deceived Adam and Eve. He lied to them. Eat what you want. Now we have a broken world. And probably, unfortunately, some here today have broken lives because of sin and of lying. And I certainly was that, you know, until Jesus came in and began to fix things. And he still is. But there's lies and then there's truth. We should be telling the truth. God hates lying so much, he reminds us at the very end of the Bible in Revelation 21, he reminds us that liars, Revelation 21:8 says, won't be in heaven. They'll be in hell. So if you lie a lot, you need to repent and change your ways. You need to tell the truth. If you're a follower of Jesus, you won't be lying. Lying is an offense to the Lord who you and I love. But I think if we're honest, probably lying is the one thing we've all done the most of all the sins, I'm guessing. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying now as redeemed believers in Jesus that lying should no longer be part of our life. But lying is a big problem in our society. Yes, I have the statistics to back that up. 12% of adults surveyed say that they lie habitually. Lying, 1 in 8 people. And I would think it's higher than that, unfortunately, but they say they just lie all the time. 80% of women surveyed admit to telling what they call harmless half-truths. Women, you are the problem. I'm just kidding. Boo. Numbers don't lie. 80%, and men, I'm sure it's just as high. 4 out of 5 women in this survey said they tell harmless half-truths frequently. And you know you do to your girlfriend, you know. It's like, hey, this outfit make me look good? Oh, yeah, it's fine. 31% of people admit to lying on resumes. 32% of people admit lying to their doctor. 60% of people surveyed said that if they were to have a 10-minute conversation, they would likely tell at least one lie during that 10-minute conversation. And this next one, now I know not my kids, but 86% of kids surveyed admit lying to their parents. 86%! My kids here, you guys are grounded just from that. I mean, lying's not really funny, but it is so prevalent because it's so easy to do. It's so in our nature to be sinful. And our culture doesn't place value on truth. We're fed lies all day long. I mean, one of the biggest lies of all creation is it's taught in our schools that life is meaningless. We came from nothing. It just happened. It's taught as fact. Lies are all around us. It just is. It's saturated our culture. We lie to protect feelings, don't we? We just kind of joked about that a little bit. What's Proverbs 28:23 say? It says, in the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Now, that doesn't mean we just get to tell everybody what we think is the truth all the time, because that would be, could you imagine if you said, now, I'm not telling you should never lie, but if I'm just going to speak truth to everyone I see all the time, how bad would that be? You'd go around all day long to everybody you know, hey, have you gained some weight? You don't look very good. Do you feel okay? You're not doing very good at your job. Your kids are annoying. You made me mad yesterday. You can't go around and do that. Honest criticism in context is better than flattery, though. It just is, okay? We also lie to make ourselves feel good, don't we? Proverbs 27:2 says this. It says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Here's great advice if you're a Christian. Talk about you less. You know, people in a conversation, they always turn it back to them, and I this, and I that, and my kids this, and don't do that. Be a listener. Let someone else compliment you. Let someone else have the microphone, which is ironic that I say that, but let someone else do it. But there are many, many more proverbs, and the gist of this is the T-H-I-N-K, what you say should be true. Christians aren't liars. Proverbs 19 says, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. We're not going to get away with lying in the long run anyway. And if you're here today and you're like, well, I'm really good at it, that's not funny. You need to repent. You need to ask God for forgiveness, and you need to start trying to live truthfully, because you're always going to come out better in the long run. What we say should be true, it should also, excuse me, be helpful. What you say should be helpful. Christians are not allowed to be gossipy. We're not allowed to be gossips. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:8, it says, the words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Next one, please. There's nothing so delicious as the taste of gossip. It melts in your mouth. Guys, you know that God knows you. He knows that who here likes gossip? See, you're all liars. Raise your hand. I'm not saying you do it. I'm saying you like it. It's in your human nature. It is to be like, ooh, they did what? They messed up. Tell me about that. I mean, it's kind of funny, but it's not. You need to understand, it's in your human nature. And if you're sitting there and you're like, not me, well, you're a liar. You like gossip. because it's in our human nature. I'm not saying it's okay, because as Christians, we're not supposed to live in the flesh. We're not supposed to just give in to our base desires. We're not supposed to be like that. We're redeemed. We're trying to follow God's word. We have the Holy Spirit, which gives us self-control and gentleness, and it allows us to live this certain type of life. But if we're honest, we like gossip. It melts in your mouth. I watched my wife sit at the kitchen table last night and eat almost a whole box of Meltaways. The little Fannie Mae, little Meltaways. Yeah, that's right. Hey, she did. And they were delicious. I didn't have any because I would have felt too guilty. And when I eat them, they're not Meltaways. I just start biting them. I don't let them melt. Who has the patience for that? But those were delicious. They were delicious. Guys, this is how our ears are about gossip. Oh, you feel better about yourself. You can talk about someone else. Did you hear about them? Did you? But that doesn't make it okay. And as Christians, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be light. We're supposed to be, the Bible says, peculiar. We as Christians don't gossip. Human nature loves gossip, but gossip is hurtful. But it's mainstream now. You know, you turn on TMZ. It seems like now I hear about all the major sports stories through TMZ. And I go through the line at Dollar General. I get to read the magazines of what's going on with all the famous people and, you know, social media. And there's just the gossip. Everything's out there. That doesn't make it good or make it okay, because as Christians, we're supposed to be different. And I believe we're supposed to be better. Not that we're better than people, because we're all God's children. You'll never meet someone who the Lord didn't die for, and he loves us the same. He's not a respecter of persons, but we're supposed to be different. And I came across a great quote this week. And I thought, man, this is so challenging, and this is so good. You can write this down, reuse it. You can put it on Facebook, whatever. It says that great minds discuss ideas, and average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss others. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds, which I, you know, we're average, discuss events. But small minds discuss others. I thought, that is so true. If we don't have anything better to use the speech that God gave us than to gossip or talk about others, we've got problems. We are supposed to be better than that. Followers of Jesus, your word should be helpful, kind, and true. Proverbs 26:20 says this. It says, where there's no wood, the fire goes out, and when there's no talebearer, strife ceases. That's how we should be. The strife and the drama, if you have it now in your life, get rid of it. It will follow you and get worse. Just don't live that way. Just choose to not gossip. Choose to not be part of that garbage. Use your tongue to bless and not to blast. James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament. Chapter 3 says, with our tongue we bless our God and Father, but we curse others who've been made in God's image. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. This should not be the case. That should not be how we are. That person you're talking about was just as made in God's image as you are. And Jesus died for them just like he did for you. And we shouldn't be gossiping. Gossiping will cost us. Hear the story of the old man who had been deaf his whole life and couldn't hardly hear. And he finally decided to go get his hearing aid fixed and get it taken care of. And he did. And went and saw the doctor, got it fixed. He goes back to the doctor, you know, a month or two later. And doctor says, how's it going? Your hearing testing at 100%. He goes, I bet all your kids and grandkids really like that you got that fixed. He goes, well, I haven't told them yet. I've just been doing a lot of listening. And the doctor said, how's that going? And he said, well, I've already changed the will 3 times. True. And that goes along the lines of, here's a great, never say something about someone that you just wouldn't say if they were standing right there. That's a great exercise of how to not gossip. What we say should be helpful. We should speak things that are true, that are helpful, and also the I and think is inspiring. We should say things that are inspiring. Think about that. Proverbs has a couple things to say. It says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Next one, please. There's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Next one. Anxiety in the heart can cause depression, but a good word makes it glad. You, as a follower of Jesus, should be the kind of person that speaks inspiring, kind, upbuilding things. You should be speaking things that are good, that are positive. People should like to talk to you or to be in your presence. And I bet most of you here today fall into one of these categories or have or desire to, but you're probably either a parent or a spouse or a boss or a teacher or a coach. And I want you to think about your words. Because if you're not speaking inspiring words that are uplifting, you are failing in your job and you are breaking the trust that God has given you. Let me first speak to spouses. Men, women, it's all the same. You should speak kind words. You should speak uplifting words to your spouse. You should speak things that make them feel good. Wives, you should thank your husbands for how hard they work, for being the spiritual leader, because men, you should be doing that, for praying with you, for teaching your kids about God, for bringing them to church. Men, you should be telling your wife that she's beautiful. You should be telling her that you love her. You should be thanking her for being a good mother and a good example to your children. You should be speaking these kind words. Parents, the words and how you speak to your children will shape their life. Because dads, if you're harsh and you're too critical and all you ever do is criticize and you never say, I love you or I'm proud of you, you're going to raise a child who's going to seek that affirmation elsewhere. Mothers, if what you do is disrespect dad and what you do is drama and gossip and fight with your friends and there's a lot of just everything's drama, you are crippling your child's life to be a life filled with that. With negativity and gossip and drama. And you know, the thing is, you don't even realize how bad it is because you're so deep into it. But if you've never lived a peaceful, fairly strifeless life, it's pretty wonderful. It's so nice. It's such a blessing. Parents, the words you use with your kids, you are setting them up as far as what kind of life they will live. Think about that. Fathers, you have daughters. How you treat your wife is the way that your daughter's going to think a man should be, and she'll marry someone like that. But if you're loving and respecting and being faithful and serving your wife, they will see that and they'll want a man like that. And it works both ways with men, women, mothers, fathers, sons, daughters. Your words are so, so, so important. If you're a teacher, position of responsibility, care about those that are entrusted to you. If you're a boss, be positive. Especially if you're a boss in a position of authority and you have people working for you who aren't Christians, you represent Jesus to them. Do you work hard? Are you honest? Are you fair? When they mess up, do you do what needs to be done? But are you graceful? Do you yell? Do you cuss? That should just not happen. You are representing Jesus Christ. Think about maybe if you're a coach. Position of authority, of trust. Be inspiring. Proverbs 25 says this. It says, the right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry. Gals, if you went home and he said, hey, I got some diamond earrings for you, surprise, that would be nice, right? You'll keep your fingers crossed, Carla. That's a surprise, a gift, a blessing. That's what inspiring and kind words are. And those are the kind of words that as Christians we should be speaking. Those are the kind of words that should be coming out of our mouths. Words that are true, that are helpful, that are inspiring, and our N stands for necessary. Our words should be necessary. And let me go back to inspiring and with necessary. This is not just words. This is something this day and age to think about before you hit send on that text, or before you hit post on that Facebook, or before you hit share on whatever it is. True, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind. That's the same as speaking those words. And once you speak them, they're out there forever. The Bible says this. You know what the Bible says about our thoughts and words? The Bible says to take captive every thought to Christ. To take it captive. Now, if you have a problem with running your mouth, with cussing, with letting stuff slip out, with talking too much, with gossip, you know what the Bible says to do? And this will serve you great in life. It says to take every thought captive to Christ. So before it comes out of your mouth, it's in jail. It's captive in your brain. Before I say, I'm going to say this and you pop it off. The Bible says to take captive, to keep your mouth shut and think about what you're going to say before you say it. That is a great thing for a Christian to do, to take your thoughts captive to Jesus and just say, you know, before this comes out, I'm going to think about it, okay? All right, I should probably say it. It doesn't mean that you're slow or you don't ever talk. It just means that you're honoring God by obeying His Word, taking your thoughts captive to Christ, because then you'll be much more careful with what you say. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Some of us may have heart issues. We need to repent. We need to ask Him to change our hearts. What we say should be necessary. You ever say something and think, man, I just should have kept my mouth shut. I'm hard on myself. I will, throughout the day, I'll kind of think about what I did and said, what I could have done better. And there's times I'm like, I shouldn't have said that. I should have just kept my mouth shut. Well, then I can learn from that, and so can you. That's a good policy. It's better off to speak less. The Bible talks a lot, and Proverbs does. It tells us over and over that wise people talk less. You will talk less. Proverbs 10:19 says this. It says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. If I think about people I know that just never shut up, just kidding, I don't know anybody like that. But I mean, you think about someone who just talks and talks and talks and gossips, do you consider them wise as a general rule? Would you look at them and say, that's the best Christian I know? They just yep, 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 yep. Probably not. Because, and I'm not saying that it's an absolute, but as a general rule, a good rule is just to talk less. We have a saying in my house that my kids hate. I say shutty time, because we don't say shut up in our house. I will say it's shutty time, because, you know, it's just we need to talk less. We need to say kind words. We have three kids. We have siblings. Very often we must remind them that their speech to their brother or sister should be kind. Kind words. Doesn't always happen that way. Proverbs 13:3 says this. It says, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. You ever met people? I have met people who are Christians, and they will tell me, you know what? I just tell it like it is. I don't think God gives us that liberty to just always tell it like it is. I'm going to say what I feel. I think the Bible says just the opposite. It says that our hearts are deceptive, to guard our hearts. It says to take thoughts captive to Christ. And it says that we shouldn't just always tell it like it is, that we should have restraint. I think someone modeled that very well for us, a guy named Jesus. Isaiah tells us this. He says he was oppressed, afflicted, but he didn't open his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, but he was quiet and silent. When he was arrested and beaten and made fun of and mocked and crucified, he just stayed quiet. When he was before Pilate in Matthew, says he answered him not one word, and the governor marveled greatly. Guys, the world needs to marvel greatly at our lives because we are followers of Jesus. We've been saved. We've received the Holy Spirit. We love the God of the universe. Our lives should be different. People should marvel at how we talk. They shouldn't hear us cussing, shouldn't hear us saying God in vain. They should hear us speaking kind, true, inspiring, necessary words that build up. They shouldn't hear us gossip. They shouldn't hear us complain all the time. What kind of testimony is that? Our words should be necessary. Our words finally should be kind. Duh. We're Christians. We should speak kind words. Kind words. I struggle with this sometimes, but by the grace of God, I hope I'm doing better. And it's always harder at home with spouse, kids, because you're around them all the time, and you know, you got to live life together, you got to share a bathroom, you got to share a house and a remote control, and stuff just happens. But our words should be kind. And again, if you're a parent, please guard your words in front of your kids. They are listening, they are watching, and it's so important that we model well for our kids. I'm not saying I always get it right, but we have to really, really try. What we say should be kind. Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, and a harsh word stirs up anger. Verse 4 says this. Verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Those are the kind of tongues that we should have. That's the kind of language that we should be speaking. I think it breaks God's heart when he sees Christians being unkind with our words. He gave us the ability to speak. Words can crush or words can heal. Words can tear down. Words can build up. What kind of words do you speak? And you need to pay attention. Dan, we're going to close and sing again in just one moment here. Some here today probably need to do some business with God about your words, about lying, about being truthful, about being helpful and inspiring, about drama, about being unkind with your words, about what you say, about how you speak to your spouse, about how you speak to your parents, about how you speak to your children. Are you representing Jesus well with your words? And some of you are like, I just can't help it. I just say stuff. You know, the Bible says that gentleness and self-control are a fruit of the Spirit. So if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, you can receive him as your Lord and Savior. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to lead our lives. And if you're here today and you are a Christian, but you don't feel like you're succeeding in this area, you need to repent and pray that the Holy Spirit would be more active in your life and with how you speak. That you tell the truth and stop lying. That you say kind words and not unkind words. That you stop reacting to others with your tongue and with a harsh word. that you stop cursing. There should be no cursing by Christians. The Bible says to not let that kind of talk come out of your mouth. That is basic Christianity, to not have a foul mouth. Take those thoughts captive and say, I represent Jesus. He is listening. He knows my heart. I should not be speaking this way. Some people are looking at me and know that I'm a Christian, that I go to church, and they might see me, and if I've got a foul mouth or a gossipy mouth or I'm a liar, they're not going to want part of Jesus, and I'm going to have some responsibility one day before the Lord with that. How we speak. There's power of life and death in the tongue. And a fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Now, fruit typically grows on trees. Trees, in order to thrive, they need good roots. They need to be grounded. Are you grounded in God's Word? Are you grounded in prayer? Are you grounded in a solid relationship of being plugged into the vine that is Jesus Christ? And if so, your words will be true and helpful and inspiring and necessary and kind. And if they're not, as we sing today, maybe you need to come and pray and repent about your language or about your lying or about whatever it is, because these are serious things. Proverbs tells us you're going to have a lot of regrets if you don't get this area of your life in order. And God loves you and wants a great life for you. He doesn't want you to live with regrets. Would you stand as we pray? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in Jesus' name. And I just pray, Lord, now you'd work on our hearts. Your Holy Spirit would move in our midst to convict us, to challenge us about how we live and what our words say about our lives and our hearts. That, Lord, you would help us in this area. There are those here today that just need to repent and say, I need to really change how I speak. Lord God, we would work on our hearts right now, because, Heavenly Father, our words, what we say and what we text and what we do in this area is going to shape our life, because you tell us there's power of life and power of death and destruction and drama and despair and regrets in how we speak and in what we say. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I said this first service.